The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, that was a nice little bounce back game for my Dallas Cowboys on Monday night. they did eke out a win over the Chargers 20-17. We did luck out because we were playing a team that had just as many penalties screw them over as we did. That's just got to be something we got to fix up. But I mean, that's kind of been a problem for many, many years. And even before Mike McCarthy became the coach, hell, even before Dak Prescott was there, we've always been terrible when it comes to penalties, but we did luck out in that department. But overall, we played a very, very solid game. I mean, offensively, Dak probably had one of his best games of his career. He went 21 for 30 with 272 yards, one passing touchdown, and one rushing touchdown, finally. Something that's been missing from his game has been the rushing, and it's been pissing me off a lot lately because there's been a couple of times where he's been able to, I could tell he's just been able to at least run for the first down or run for a little bit more yardage, and he hasn't been doing it a lot. But finally on this one, he got a big rushing TD, so that was great. But he actually was running for his life a lot, and he actually was a huge reason why we were able to stay in the game. Because he was just making these really insane, acrobatic, get-away-from-the-defender type plays and just getting the playoff right in time. So he actually had a really good game. C.D. Lamb had a huge game, 117 yards. And then the defense really held it down for the majority of the game, but they made the two big plays on the final drive because the it was a very close game for the most part. And but the Cowboys were able to take the lead 20-17 with about a minute 17 left to go. So that's plenty of time for Justin Herbert. But luckily, the Cowboys defense, they did what they needed to do. Micah Parsons didn't have any sacks. Or really, you know, he had some pressures on the quarterback, but it just really they were basically triple teaming him all night long. So it was kind of difficult for him to really get in on any plays. But on the final drive, he had a huge sack. And then then right after the sack, Justin Herbert throws a game-ending interception, and the Cowboys walk off with the big win. So that was nice to see. They definitely needed to bounce back from that shit show from last week in San Francisco. But now let's get right into the Trop 10 NFL Power Rankings for the week. And now we no longer have any undefeated teams, so we don't have to really think about that. Not that I really look too much into the record when it comes to the rankings. I really look more at what's going on the field and kind of how your season has played out so far. And so even though the Niners suffered their first loss of the season, and it was to the shitty-ass Browns, like I said, that's just more of one of those trap games. It happens to the best of the teams throughout the history of the league, really. If you look at every single Super Bowl champion except for the 72 Dolphins, you're going to find some type of shitty loss on their record. It just happens. But nobody remembers it if you win the Super Bowl. So anyways, so number one this week still, San Francisco 49ers, even though they suffered their first loss of the season. Not really a big deal. I mean, they still have a very talented team. They almost won this game. Brock Purdy was able to get them in field goal range. He can't kick the ball. And they're just really a solid overall team. Defensively, they have 10 interceptions on the season. So they're taking away the ball and they're getting at the quarterback. So 49ers just look like the best team in the league, at least right now. So, of course, they're still number one. Then at number two on my Trop 10 NFL Power Rankings are the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 5-1. And even though the majority of their wins have been really ugly wins, it doesn't matter. They're still the defending champs. They still have Patrick Mahomes, who's got 1,593 yards on the season, plus 11 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions. And, I mean, the dude's just carrying the team. Doesn't matter. I mean, really, if you look at their receiving core outside of Travis Kelce, they ain't got shit. And he pretty much makes all those receivers look really damn good just by setting them up with really excellent plays. But, he's carrying this team, even though defensively they look really good. But, I mean, just overall, They look really good as a team. Doesn't matter how you're winning, they're still getting the wins, and they're still the defending Super Bowl champs. So until they start falling apart, I can't drop them in the power rankings. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Philadelphia Eagles finally suffered their first loss of the season this week. They are 5-1. They lost a tough game to the New York Jets. I don't think this one was really a trap game. I think this one was more they just got beat. They started off the first half really well, and then they just got stagnant. And the Jets defense was really just able to key in on Jalen Hurts, who actually is, you know, he's having a good season, but he does have 7 interceptions on the season, and that's more than he had last year. So he's got to fix that up. But then you turn around and you look at A.J. Brown, and this guy's been going off since about, week 2, week 3. He's been basically, I think he's hit 125 yards receiving in the last 4 games. So he's at 672 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns on the season. He's just been a huge, huge asset for the offense. But other than him and DeAndre Swift, this offense has been very, very quiet, and they haven't really been able to get the scores that they were able to last season. So we'll see if that progresses on as the season goes, or if it just sits stagnant and becomes an issue for them. Either way, I couldn't care less. I would love for it to be an issue for them because I hate the Eagles. But, you know, they're still a damn good team, and I can't knock them down in the rankings just because I hate them. You know, I'm a hater, but I also have a brain, and I think with logic. And when I'm making power rankings, I can't include things like, I hate the team, unfortunately. But I also can't do it when my team's not playing well either. You notice it. I don't put the Cowboys at number one every week because they definitely don't deserve to be number one. Anyways, let's get to number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Detroit Lions. Overall record of 5-1. And, I mean, you can make arguments for them at number 1, but just for me and my personal opinion, let's say the playoffs were to start today, because this is something I do think about if I need to kind of make a deciding factor between a couple of teams. And that kind of was how it was for me when I was breaking it down. Because the Lions, they are playing excellent football right now. There is no shade coming from me. They are proving it to me each and every week and looking more and more like a legit team. They have the veterans, they have the young guys, they have the heart. They just look really, really good. But if they were to face off against the Eagles in the playoffs, for example, I would still lean more towards the Eagles just because I think the Eagles are overall the better team. Then you look at it and you go, what if they face the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Well, I'm taking the Chiefs times a million. And then you go, well, what if they have to face the 49ers in the playoffs? And if they were to face them today, I'm taking the Niners 10 times out of 10. So that's why the Lions are at 4 for me, just because I can't really just yet justify them above those 3 teams. You know, as the season goes on, if they all start to suffer some more losses, then we'll see how it goes. But I haven't become 100% believer in the Lions to put them at number 1, but they are still having a great season. Jared Goff has just been going off. He's got 1,618 yards through the air, 11 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. And his dude has been Amon-Ra St. Brown with 455 yards and 3 touchdowns on the season. So they're getting it done offensively, but they're getting it done defensively as well. They're causing some turnovers, causing some havoc in the backfield. And the Lions just, at least right now, look like a solid team from top to bottom. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have my Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 4-2. And it was just nice to see them get a nice bounce back win, even though there was a ton of follies in there with the stupid fumble punt return. That was stupid. And just all the dumbass penalties. And so they did have their follies. But I mean, overall, we beat the Chargers, who are a good team. And we had a solid overall game. So I was happy to see that. But one thing I will say with the Cowboys that I feel like they need to do is they need to make a trade for some type of offensive weapon, because when it's like 3rd and 8 and you see Dak drop back to pass, it feels hopeless for the most part because there's no deep threat other than CeeDee Lamb. And CeeDee is getting double covered a lot. He's getting clamped down a lot. I mean, yes, he's making the big plays when he needs to. But we need another big play guy. I mean, you take a look at our tight ends. neither one of them has really stepped up yet. As a matter of fact, the majority of the time, the two of them are just dropping passes, which has been pissing me off all season. Then you look at Michael Gallup, who I just kind of feel like has been a total waste of time since we gave him that extension last year. We paid him the big money, and then he tears his ACL. I think he tore his ACL actually right before we gave him the big contract, but we still gave him the big contract. And so far, he really hasn't made the big plays. He hasn't been a go-to guy. So I kind of feel like he might actually be good trade bait for the Cowboys at the trade deadline. And who knows if they're going to make a move. I personally would like them to make a move, but you just never know what's going to happen. But I feel like they just need one more offensive weapon to help out Dak. Because also, you look at it, and Tony Pollard, while he's a nice weapon, he really hasn't looked that solid at running back. He's really just getting a couple yards here and there. He really hasn't had, I think he's had the first couple of games in the season, he looked really good. And then now it's just, he keeps getting stopped at the line. And it's just kind of making me look at him and go, what's your deal, dude? We got rid of Zeke, and did we need Zeke still? I mean, I know Zeke wasn't what he used to be, but it's kind of looking like we made a mistake by getting rid of him. Just because we at least were able to get a couple yards on the third and ones. But Pollard isn't that dude in that type of situation. Not saying he's not a good weapon, but he's just been kind of a disappointment as well lately. So, I don't know. Offensively, the Cowboys, I feel like, need another weapon. So, if there's somebody out there on the trade market who they could pick up, I think they need to look in that direction, because they could use some type of deep threat or some type of other big playmaker outside of CeeDee Lamb, because CeeDee Lamb is the only reliable guy we have on offense that Dak can literally drop back and say, I'm just tossing it up to CeeDee. But unfortunately, because Michael Gallup really pissed me off in this pass game, because Dak laid the most perfect fucking pass on him. It had zip, and it went right through the defenders and perfectly into Gallup's hands. And yes, Gallup was interfered with by the defender. Should have been a PI, but so what? It hit his hands. It was an easy catch. Should have been a catch. And of course, he didn't catch it. And when Dak throws a pass like that and you don't catch it, it really, really pisses me off. Because, Dak's a good quarterback, but he's not going to get that huge, beautiful zip on it like he's Josh Allen. And when he does that, on the occasions he does it, if you don't catch the ball, it just, kills my soul. Because I'm like, dude, you just wasted that beautiful pass from Dak. And it was beautiful, perfect, on the money, and Gallup. And it would have been a touchdown, too. So it's costing us some points. So Gallup needs to either step it up, or we need to do something during the trade by the trade deadline and get some offensive help if we can. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 4-2. They just are looking like a damn good team right now, offensively and defensively. Trevor Lawrence has been very solid this year, with 1,439 yards through the air, 7 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. And that's been a problem for him his first couple of seasons that he had. Turnovers were a big deal. He'd get drives going, and then he would just throw a stupid turnover. But now he's only got 3 interceptions right now. Unfortunately, he did suffer a knee injury, so he's iffy for Thursday's game. But other than that, the dude's been money. But it's also been a help for him as well, because Travis Etienne, his running back, has been money as well. And he's just been having a great season. He's got 451 yards on the ground, 5 touchdowns, and he's been a great weapon for them offensively. But like I said, defensively, they are really getting it done. They're causing turnovers, they're getting sacks, and they're just really making it difficult for opposing quarterbacks. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Miami Dolphins, overall record of 5-1. Yes, they are spectacular offensively. They pretty much dominate in every single category, from receiving to passing yards to rushing yards. Tyreek Hill's got 814 yards already through the air, and that's actually the most through 6 games ever in the history of the league. So that's a record right there, with 6 touchdowns as well. So yes, they're having a great season just offensively. But for me, I just am not convinced that it's going to last. I just kind of feel like, I don't know. There's just something about the Dolphins that I just don't believe in. And yes, I think they're a good team. Not saying they're not a good team. It's just, for some reason, you know, when they played the Bills, for example, the Bills really dominated them. And I kind of feel like if the Dolphins go up against a really good team defensively, they're going to get shut down and their defense is going to be able to back them up. So that's kind of why I've got them so far down. I think a lot of people have them a little bit further up. But for me, it's just, I'm not really convinced with them. I'm not saying I don't like what they're doing, but it's just like there's something about them that I don't believe in. And they're going to just going to have to keep pushing through the season and see how it goes. But there's just something about them that's not really convincing to me that they would be, you know, once we get down to the playoffs, you know, if they have to face a team like the 49ers, I think the 49ers are going to wallop them. And, you know, same with the Chiefs and the Eagles and the Lions. I just think those are teams that have better defenses than them. And we'll see. I'm not saying they're a bad team. I mean, they've got a shit ton of talent. Like I said, they're dominating in every single category right now offensively. And I mean dominating by like a mile. I mean, every category that they have the lead in, it's by about like 200 yards or so. So, I mean, it's not even just like a close little margin here and there. It's like they're blowing everybody out. But is that really going to win you the Super Bowl? We'll find out. We'll see. They're a good team. They're 5-1, only one loss on the season. But that one loss, I look at it and I go, I don't know about y'all. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 4-2, man, Roquan Smith has turned out to be one of the best moves they have ever made. This dude's got 26 tackles on the season and 1.5 sacks and has been a problem. As a matter of fact, this entire Baltimore Ravens defense is just something else. They've got 24 sacks on the season just overall. Lamar Jackson, he's having a very efficient, solid season. So just I like what I see from the Ravens. We'll see if it's able to maintain throughout the season. But, I mean, defensively, this team is looking like typical Baltimore Ravens. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that did take a tumble this week, the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 4-2. And it's just for me, offensively, they are not the same. Just this past week, yes, they got the win, but they barely got the win. And they keep squeaking by and keep squeaking by. And yes, like I said, with the Chiefs, they're getting ugly wins, but it's like, you know, they've won 2 Super Bowls. They've already earned our respect in that regard, whereas the Bills have not. And so it's just like I'm watching them offensively, and it's just weird. Defensively, they are shut it down. They're one of the best in the league, and it's definitely been keeping them in games. But offensively, they've just been getting started really, really slow. I mean, they didn't even start scoring points in this last game until the fourth quarter. So something's going on there. And the funny thing is, it's actually not Stephon Diggs, the guy who was making some noise in the offseason. He actually has 620 yards through the air and 5 touchdowns, and he's just been making the big plays every time his number is called. So it's not because of him, but they've just had these very slow offensive starts. Who knows? I'm sure they're going to get it going. I mean, it's not like they're a team I look at and go, oh my God, they're going to fall off the face of the earth. It's just when comparing to the rest of the teams above them, I kind of look at them and give them a little bit of a side eye. And then rounding out this week's top 10 NFL power rankings of the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 3-2. I mean, they're just a really overall solid team. I feel like they can beat anybody on any given Sunday. I feel like they're just a team that's always a factor. Whether they're favorite or not, that doesn't matter to me. It's just I feel like every game you're getting the best from them, and especially defensively. They're really young. They're really fast. They've got 19 sacks on the season. And then offensively, they're maintaining. You know, you've got Kenny Walker III, who's just having a great season. I mean, just the guy's been – he was good last year. And he's just carried it on into this season, and he's just getting the job done, getting the first downs when necessary, and also getting the big touchdowns in the red zone. It's just they do have the big playmakers at the wide receiver position. It's just they tend not to finish off drives sometimes, and that has cost them in a couple of games. But I mean, overall, they could have easily beat the Bengals this past week if the Bengals just didn't hold it down. But I do like what I'm seeing from the Seattle Seahawks, at least for now, and I do think they're a pretty solid team. Moving on to the Thursday night football matchup this week. Should be a good one. I say should because there's a possibility the starting quarterback of one of the teams might not play, but it's looking like Looking up right now. So it's going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Saints are a 1.5-point favorite. And like I said, it's looking like Trevor Lawrence, you know, he injured his knee in the last game, at the end of the game, I guess. And so he's been rehabbing it all week. And of course, it's Thursday. So if it was a Sunday game, he'd probably for sure be playing. But since it's Thursday, it's always very, very questionable. But right now, it's looking, things are looking up. So, of course, my prediction is going to be relied upon whether Trevor Lawrence plays or not. If he doesn't play, I don't know what the game's going to look like for the Jaguars. But if he does play, I feel like this is going to be a really good game between two really solid teams. I mean, defensively, I think these are both two of the top defenses in the league. I mean, they both hold it down. So it should be interesting from that standpoint. The Saints, though, they're a very weird offensive team. Like, they could get it going on some days, and then they're just held back on other days. I just don't think they've found their identity offensively just yet. It kind of feels like it's going to be one of those things that keeps progressively building as the season goes on, which, I mean, makes sense since they have a new quarterback, calling play. So it's just, it's probably going to take some time, but I mean, defensively, they look really good. Then, of course, the Jaguars, as I said, they look great on every level right now, offensively, defensively, special teams, from the coaching as well. They're just a really good team, and I actually have started to respect them each and every single week. But I do think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a battle, probably, if Lawrence plays. I feel like it's going to be one of those games that comes down to a game-winning drive, last-second walk-off field goal type of thing like that. And I do have the Jacksonville Jaguars winning 21-17. Like I said, of course, that all relies upon Trevor Lawrence playing. If he doesn't play, I got to go to New Orleans because they just would be the better team that way. But you never know. You never know what happens in the NFL. All right, now moving on to the college football AP Top 10 standings for the week. Of course, number one, still Georgia. They're 7-0, so nothing to say about that. And they have the week off this week, so they will still be number one next week. Number two, still Michigan, 7-0. And, I mean, of course, they're still there because, I mean, they're kicking everybody's ass, so they should be there. They will be at Michigan State this week. Then at number three, we have Ohio State. They are 6-0, but they have a big, big game. They have the game of the week this week. They will be playing number seven, Penn State, and they're coming to Ohio. So it's going to be a good one. I don't know who I'm leaning towards on this one. Like, I've been waffling back and forth. I think I'm going Penn State. I think. But it's probably going to be one of those crazy games where it just comes down to, it might even go to overtime, you know, kind of one of those things. Comes down to a last-second field goal or something, but that's going to be a good-ass game. But somebody is going to lose, that's for sure. Then number four, Florida State. They are 6-0. They will be playing Duke this week. Washington is at number five. They just got the huge win against Oregon. They will be playing Arizona State. Then at number six, Oklahoma. Boo, no thank you. They are 6-0. They're coming off their stupid bye week, and they'll be playing UCF this week. Go UCF. Then at number seven, like I said, Penn State. They are kicking ass, and they will be at Ohio State this week. At number eight, my Texas Longhorns moved up on their bye week. They didn't even play a game, but they moved on up, so that's pretty awesome for us. Like I said, coming off of a bye, so nothing last week. We got to sit on that beautiful Oklahoma loss for another week, and we're 5-1, and we will be at Houston this week. Then at number nine, Oregon fell because of their loss to Washington, and they will be at Washington State, or they will be playing Washington State this week. And then we have a newcomer to the top 10 this week. It is North Carolina rounds out the top 10. They are just kicking ass as well. They're a big surprise for a football team. We're used to talking about North Carolina when it comes to basketball, but football, they're looking really damn good. That's because Mac Brown is the shit. I know this because he won us a national championship up here in Austin. So we miss you, Mac. We miss you, dude. But they are 6-0 and looking pretty good, and they will be playing Virginia this weekend. And moving on to playoff baseball, which ALCS and NLCS have been completely dominated by one team and one team alone in each series. So let's get it started with ALCS game two was yesterday, and the Rangers won 5-4. And it was kind of funny because, I mean, in the first inning, the Rangers were up 4-0. I mean, like, right off the bat. So it was like, oh, my God, it's going to be another one of these games. Well, Houston finally started to get the offense going, but it was just a bit too late. Yordan Alvarez did have two home runs. So there's a business as usual for him. But other than that, they did fall short by a run. And the Rangers were able to walk away with the win 5-4. They were able to get the two wins in Houston. So they're up 2-0, and they actually play in Texas or in Dallas tonight. I'm sorry, Arlington, same fucking area, but it's Arlington technically where the Rangers play. But that's where they are tonight. So we'll see how Game Three pans out. I mean, obviously the Astros have to get the win. It's very, very difficult to come back down 0-3. But you never know. But they just definitely need to win. But it just kind of feels like the Rangers are a team of destiny right now. Like, they are just offensively, they are really, really tough to stop. And their starting pitching has just been phenomenal so far. And the Astros, they haven't had terrible games. It's just they're getting beat in the little things. And the little things are usually what kills you in the postseason. Turning to the NLCS, a team is also up 2-0 in this one. So let's start off with game one. Philly dominated that one, 5-3. Bryce Harper had a home run. Nick Castellanos had a home run. And Kyle Schwarber had a home run. Zach Wheeler pitched a gem. And the Phillies just absolutely crushed it. Then game two was last night. I'm not sure Arizona realized there was a game because they got crushed. 10-0. Aaron Nola pitched a gem. He went six innings and had seven strikeouts. Kyle Schwarber had two home runs. This kind of is a theme for the Phillies right now, where they're having guys hitting two home runs a game, meaning like Harper and Castellanos and Schwarber. They've all hit two home runs at least once through in the postseason so far. I mean, the Phillies are hitting home runs like it ain't no thing. Now, while I just said the Rangers look like the team of destiny, the Phillies look like the best fucking team left in the postseason. So, I don't know, man. Arizona might want to just pack it up and just let the Phillies just move on to the World Series because this one looking like a clean sweep if they don't step it up. And, I mean, their good-ass pitchers got blown up in these first two games. So, I don't know how they're going to maintain it. I mean, they're a good team, but they ain't that good. So, both ALCS and NLCS right now. Rangers up 2-0. Phillies up 2-0. These are looking like clean sweeps. I think the Astros are going to give a little fight. I feel like they're going to get at least one win in these next two. But the Diamondbacks, I don't know about them. They've been crushed completely. And I kind of felt like that was going to happen because to me, the Phillies are like a complete Goliath compared to the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are a good team. They're a young squad, but that's the thing. They're a young squad, whereas Phillies are playing big boy baseball right now. So that's what we got going on with the playoffs. The NLCS continues on Thursday. So we'll see where we're at on Friday with the baseball playoffs. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.